Amendment number 7 to House Bill 1. And before we get started, I have a call. We have a privilege of the floor. Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. So back in the fishbowl, and they may be actually clear back in the back, we have the Wyoming Humanities Council Board, and that includes Shannon Smith, Barb McNabb, I knew I was going to mess that up, so I'm not going to try any further. Tom Johnston, Carolyn Mills, Mary Guthrie, and Isabel Zumel. So if you could give them a round of applause and welcome them. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome to the House. Glad to have you here. We're on Amendment Number 7. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that second reading, Amendment Number 7, the House Bill 1, and I urge your favorable consideration of this. Ladies and gentlemen, what this relates to is back in 2017, we had a bill called House Bill 11. And what it was is that it was an inquiry into the feasibility of switching our ad valorem tax from minerals into a discounted cash flow methodology. That's the same methodology we use to evaluate utilities and evaluate pipelines and all kinds of industrial property. And also it's a method that is proven very good for other states to use. One state is immediately to our west. And anyway, to make a long story short, this bill has a three-year window in it. It was a three-year study, which meant that it encompassed two bienniums, okay? The last, in 2017, we had an appropriation in it, but we could only appropriate enough money to fill this present by fiscal year, but it flows into the 2019 fiscal year and the 2020. So all this is a way of continuing the study. It's not a very expensive study. It's all in-house, and they've got expenses associated with that, with computer programs, and I think all the traveling is pretty well done by now. But anyway, it involves an increase of $10,000 on a line item that's $8,434,000. And that will allow us to carry this study to its completion. Now, originally, there was a thought that maybe we could use somewhere else in today's budget, in this year, fiscal year's budget, and carry it into the next biennium. But that's not the way you do it. You've got to turn that money back and revert it back to the general fund for this year when this fiscal year is over, and then reappropriate it back into the next fiscal year. So that is the essence of this, and I urge your support of this so this study can be completed by the fiscal year 2020. Thank you. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to talk about it.
Any other members like to? Representative Stith.
Mr. Speaker, I do have a question for the representative from District 40. Just to understand, the description here says that it's to continue the study on the use of discounted cash flow valuation for the ad valorem tax on oil and gas production. Could you explain? To me, when I hear a study of discounted cash flow valuation, that sounds just like putting the numbers into a spreadsheet and picking a discount rate and clicking the button. So could you explain why it's more involved than that?
Oh, yes.
Anyone else for their first time? I know we're all so excited. I know.
I like this.
I was really ready, too. Anyone else for their first time? That was a good question. You got us all fired up.
Right? Good.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Kenner.
Well, I'm about to break the microphone here. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not sure how this thing stands up here. Ladies and gentlemen, I would hope that you would approve this for us. This is something we've been really working on in our committee, and we really would like to finish this study. By the way, this method of valuation I'm very familiar with. In the business that I retired from, we would use this for valuing our collateral. So I'm very familiar with this, but I think this is something that with the completion of this study, we'd really be able to take a look at a way of possibly working with valuation in the minerals. And this is something that the industry has asked that we take a look at. And so on and for this amendment. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? That is the bonus microphone. You have to hold it while you talk. Representative Howers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no objections to continuing a study that's already underway. I wonder about the increase of $10,000. According to line 5 of this budget, it's a $9,224,639 amount. Why can't we just set aside $10,000 within that and get the study accomplished without any additional funds?
Representative Sweeney.
On an in favor of this amendment, I did attend the convention of the association that deals with petroleum products this summer, and this was discussed. The industry wants it studied, so I would encourage an aye vote.
Any other members? Representative Piperina?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to know, how much are we vested in this study already?
Okay, any other members for their first time? Seeing none for the first time, now we're going to move to second time. Second time before the sponsor. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I divide the amendment, please?
Divide it?
I would like to divide
Perhaps.
It.
Can you propose your division?
I would move a division between line 1 and 2 would be division 1, and line 3 to 18 would be division 2.
Chair rules that's divisible. We'll call lines 1 and 2 division number 1. And we'll call lines 3 through 18, division number 2. Now, does anybody want to challenge that? Representative Chairman Greer.
Respectfully, Mr. Speaker, I would look at line 1, talks about inserting footnote 4.
Yeah. So I think a technical correction of that would be, on line 1, the number 4 has to go in division 2. Is that your point?
Yes. Thank
that's
you,
Mr. That's
Speaker.
How I understand it. I think that's a technical correction on your division. So that number 4 on line 1 will be in division 2.
Thank you. May I speak to division
now,
1, Mr. Speaker?
Just to remind all members, now this whole thing, this starts over. So for your first time, on division number 1, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge a no vote on division 1. As I said earlier, it's a $9 million item that this fund will be coming out of to continue the study. And I think somewhere they can find $10,000 in there without increasing the budget. Thank you. Vote aye on Division 1.
Anyone else on Division 1? Chairman Madden.
No,
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You can do what you want to on this. The request was from the Revenue Department to add $10,000, and their logic for that was that the line items are pretty well taken up, and if we do take the $10,000 from somewhere else, which certainly can be done, it'll have to be done by taking $10,000 from some other part of the budget. But that's about all I can say about it.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess more and more I understand this. We started this process last year. Maybe we can understand. I think the original purpose of this amendment was to continue something that we started last year and was just not included in this budget. So if we anticipated that we were going to be doing this for 2 years and it just was not included in the budget, why are we going to come back and strip the money from something that is already in process? This was something we had anticipated doing going forward, but now we're saying we don't want to. So I would urge a no vote on division, or I'm sorry, an aye vote on division one.
Anybody else? Representative Halverson.
Thank you. And I would urge you to vote no on division one and aye on division two.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Division 1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The noes have it, Division 1 fails. All right, division having been called, all those in favor of Division 1, please stand. And all those opposed? All right. Division 1 fails. So the Division 2, does the prime sponsor wish to speak? Okay. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I urge your aye vote on Division 2.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Division 2 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Division 2 passes. We have a privilege of the floor. Representative Blake.
Thank you. Everybody join me in welcoming in the fishbowl back here. Hunters and anglers from around the state. Today is Camo Day at the Capitol. Wyoming Sportsman's Alliance, they'll be having a reception at 7 o'clock, which none of us will probably be able to attend. We apologize for that. But please welcome them to the House.
Thank you, and welcome to the House. Love the license plate. And I may take a personal privilege of the floor. We have in the fishbowl from the city where the river is green, George Ekman, who is also the chairman or president of Western Wyoming Community College's board. Representative.
Mr. Chairman, privilege at the floor, please.
Yes.
Along with him are also community college trustees from some of our other community colleges, and I think we should welcome them for their work for the students of the state of Wyoming. Welcome, community college trustees.
All right. In
any other privileges of the floor? Representative Powell?
No.
Okay. All right. That brings us to budget amendment number 8. Representative Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 1, House Amendment number 8, to the floor to be amended, and ask for your support. You know, I'm looking at or listening here in the last few bills that we've had, and some of them have increased the budget. And this bill or this amendment will decrease that and give we'll be able to take some of that money and put it into some of these other programs that that they're going to be looking for money. And what this bill does, it's a position of 3 employees that it's a vacant positions that they're requesting to fill. And as we've discussed yesterday at length, that we need to not fill all these positions, keep government at a minimum, and quit growing government. In this particular, the Department of Audit, there's already currently 102 employees, and they're asking to increase that 3 more at a cost of over $500,000. I would urge that the amount of employees that are already there, that it can do the job, and that we don't need to increase the numbers. So I'd urge your support on this amendment and ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Although speaking on the first time, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this amendment, this is somewhat similar to an earlier amendment we had regarding the Department of Revenue. These 3 positions were a portion of the recommendation of increased positions for the Department of Audit from the efficiency report. And while I don't want to say I endorse everything in the efficiency report, I think taking the a partial step that they recommend and increasing the 3 is something we should do for a couple reasons. First of all, it will give us some data to look at how it works. They will be reporting on this. Secondly, according to the Department of Audit currently, each one of their auditors generates $384,000 in revenue. I don't expect adding 3 will keep that ratio there, but I have every expectation that they will generate more revenue than it costs to hire them. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just echo the same thing that I said on the last amendment, very similar to this. Don't bite the hand that feeds.
Anybody else? Representative Powell.
Yeah, I'll be brief. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We need to, at some point, start the process of fulfilling what we said we wanted to do, and this is an opportunity to do it. So, again, I urge your support on the amendment. Please vote aye. Thank you.
The question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The noes have it. The noes have it. Amendment number 8 fails. Division? Okay. All right. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment number 8 fails. Moving on. Amendment number 9. Representative Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, I wanted to have this to have a discussion about what government should and shouldn't do, but since we're moving at just almost lightning speed, I will respectfully withdraw.
All right. Thank you, Representative Jennings. Moving on. Amendment number 58. Do we have either Representative Conley, Blake, or Pelkey to speak?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Amendment 58, Second Reading Amendment 58 to House Bill 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, we are now moving into the State Parks and Cultural Resources budget, and what this amendment does is it restores the funding to the trail program. You'll remember that what JAC did is cut the funding from $100,000 to $50,000 and added a footnote that the department is not to ask for this money again. So what this amendment does again is it puts back the $50,000 and removes the footnote. This is a good and important program that has been in existence for two decades. It is a program where we have the equivalent of an old school civilian conservation corps as well as a veterans trail crew work with the agency to do really important restoration work. For that $50,000, and this isn't all about the money, but for that $50,000, we have over 20,000 hours, 20,000 hours of work that has been done by these crews. Importantly, they were responsible for some of the fire and flood restorations that have happened in the past couple of years. So I would encourage you to restore this money. It's a good and important program, and I'll take any questions.
Representative Conley, thank you. Before we get to other speakers, we have a privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back in the fishbowl, we have the Wyoming trustees from the community colleges. I'd certainly like for you all to rise and give them a hearty hand. They left? Did they leave?
Thank you very much. Back on House Amendment 58, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd just like to encourage the body to vote against this amendment. I think the presenter of the amendment would like to have implied that they could never make the request for this again. If you read that footnote, it just says that it can't be included in the next standard budget. Let's see if State Parks can't do without this appropriation, and then coming back in the budget session after the 21-22, if we feel that we need to do that, then we can put it back in. Again, I would encourage you to vote no.
Anyone else on? Anyone other than the prime sponsor to speak on Amendment 58? Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this amendment, when we heard from the agency, this was not one of their top priorities. It was well down on their list of priorities and exceptions. And we just decided that, you know, they should kind of live within their means. They didn't have a lot of specifics on this other than, yeah, we'd like to keep the program. And so that was the reason for why it is in the budget. We don't feel that it needs to be added to. They should have enough money to do this. It's a limited program, a limited number of people for a limited time. And, yeah, they do some good work, but really it's almost a public works program. So that was why we denied the exception request, stuck with what they had, on and against.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. They do some great work, and I would gently push back that because this isn't this agency's budget, they never wanted it. We put it there. So if they're not, you know, chomping the bit to say this is their number one priority, there's a really good reason why. It's been a great program. It's been around for 10 years, actually. former chairman of the Minerals Committee, was one of the few things he really liked. Actually, that's why I'm jumping up to the mic, because he'd be defending it if he was here. But we've moved this around for a couple agencies now, and I mean, I don't blame the department for not putting it high on their priority list, because we tasked it on them 2 years ago. It was formerly in Workforce Services. Before then, it was a standalone program here when we started it, and it's been doing great things in the state for 10 years. But the argument that the agency is not pushing it that much is completely understandable, because the agency never wanted it. We put it there.
Anyone else to speak on House Amendment 58 for the first time? For on the second time, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So back on this, this is really for a lot of the supervisors who supervise these people to do some of this work. They're getting people from the Honor Camp and some of those other places. Again, more public works than it is anything else. And like I said, the agency didn't want it. We gave them a little bit to see what they can do with it. I'd say honor their request. I wouldn't give them any more. On and against.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just a little pushback. This is not about the Honor Camp or the Department of Corrections at all. It just isn't. All right. This is a completely different program that has been with State Parks and Cultural Resources for over 10 years. What I didn't mention is that they have an enormous number of partners. You can't do this work without an enormous number of partners, and it includes lots from the state, as well as the feds, as well as community philanthropic organizations and the energy companies coming together in order to do this really important restoration work. You know, that includes not only that kind of fire and flood mitigation, but things regarding prairie dogs, campsites, bridges. Again, 20,000 hours for the $50,000 that we are contributing. So I'd ask us to put that money back again and actually applaud this work. Thank you.
Thank you. Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The noes have it. Amendment 58 fails. Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand. All opposed? Amendment 58 fails. Amendment number 10, Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1, and this is a simple amendment, that costs nothing. All it does is it requires the Department of State Parks to link their website to the Department of Tourism, the State Outfitter Board, the YDOT, and some of these other. We actually said, and other state entities, because we didn't mean to exclude anybody that has anything to do with recreation or travel or outdoor recreation. We wanted that website to be a one-stop shopping place for all of these different kind of activities that the state offers. So it's just a cross-link, a reciprocal link type of thing. And so that's what I bring you, and I'd stand for questions.
Question having been called, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment 10 passes. Amendment 11. Do we have someone to speak? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move second reading amendment number 11 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this amendment deletes the newly formed Department of Outdoor Recreation and the website funding, as well as three vacant positions under the State Parks and Cultural Resources for a savings of $557,000 and $199. So that is what this amendment does. as you have heard before, this group came to our committee during the interim. They did not request to have this department formed, the task force that was formed on this. And so I just think it's growing government, and at this time we don't need to do it. So ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in support of this amendment, and I think it's important for the collective body to realize that your TRW committee met here in the capital city, and we were approached about, in particular, this Outdoor Recreation Council. And we were told at that time that they were not going to pursue this, that this was not something they wished to form. And then imagine to our surprise when we find out in the budget then that there is $150,000 appropriated for the formation of this committee. And I would submit to you that this was not passed or endorsed by TRW. In fact, if we were asked about the formation of this group, we probably would have had more discussion and would have talked about this even more in TRW, but we did not. And so I would encourage you to vote aye for this amendment.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment. I think particularly one thing is they're kind of moving personnel in-house and it's kind of just being taken on by the parks. It's really not creating a whole new division. And the website money is one-time startup. And I think as we look forward in the future, recreation is a huge part of Wyoming and a huge part of our tourism economy in Wyoming. And if we can get that ramped up better and more organized and get these trails out there to the public and show that we're open for business in Wyoming, it's just going to do good things and generate money for Wyoming. And I think the idea of these websites, and then you couple that with the last amendment that was brought, which was a really good amendment, to kind of link these websites together to get more power out there on the Internet to promote Wyoming. This is a good thing, and I urge you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. We've talked to the agency about this, and as the previous speaker said, they're moving people within their department and rearranging some staffing in order to cover this. I think a lot of you have seen, I hope you've read, the governor's task force report on outdoor recreation. A lot of interesting things there, and I know one thing that I can talk to specifically that the agency has said. The state to our west and south somewhat has a community that they advertise as being the mountain bike capital of the world. A lot of red rocks and interesting rock formations there. We have some places in Wyoming that are equally or better. They're equally good or even better than that. And this money will go to pushing things like that to get people to come here for those activities. They bring money, they have a good time, they leave their money here and they go home. So a lot of good out of this. It's one-time money to get them up and running. We think that it'll be self-sufficient once they do. And it's a different aspect of recreation. I think you remember that this past year, and I met some of the competitors, we had an international adventure race come through Wyoming. Brought a lot of people, a lot of tourism with it. Talked to some of the competitors. The problem was I was trying to talk to them in the middle of the race. They weren't real excited about that. But a lot of notoriety to the state, and I think other people will come and say, hey, they did this on this course. Can I follow this? And I wonder what my time would be kayaking on the river that runs through most of this state. So really good potential here. It's another avenue to improve our outdoor activities, recreation, bring people here. And once they come, they tend to come back. So on and against this amendment, I think we need to fund this.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in support of this amendment, I was at the TRW meeting, and this was not presented to us as a new division of state parks. I suppose they have some kind of autonomy in this area, but if they had said we need a division in a state agency or a state department dedicated to outdoor recreation, we would have had a full-fledged debate. Should it be in state parks? Should it be in tourism? This should have come to us as a bill. And I urge your support of this amendment. Let's take it up as an interim committee meeting, an interim meeting for travel, recreation, wildlife, and cultural resources next year, and see what the best venue is, if any, to incorporate an outdoor recreation council within state government. Thank you. Vote aye.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm a member of that committee, and while I get the intent here, I got to say this organization has already been tremendously helpful for my community, or one of my communities, because we're exploring just this sort of recreation dollar for our community. And so I would urge you to vote no on this amendment, because I think this will be a good group, and it's about growing Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand in favor of this amendment. Like the previous speaker said, it is definitely growing Wyoming, growing our deficits. Brothers and sisters, we really need to take a look sometime during this session to see what we can do to cut government. We have a structured deficit of approximately $900 million. It looks, and I predict at the end, that we're going to kick the can down the road and have that to deal with two more years. Take this opportunity to stand up and say no to growth in government.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also a member of the TRW committee, and my recollection of the reports on the outdoor recreation was is they were not going to create another agency or division or whatever you wanted to do. Basically, what their answer to that report that shows lots of potential to bring lots of income and people into the state was to use vacant positions to put the agency within the state parks department to where that they can promote outdoor tourism, much like the state that has a lot of bees on its capital.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's really important that when we have these amendments that we vote on something that is characterized what it's doing. And we've heard a lot that this is just shuffling around one-time monies. It's pretty clear there that this is three positions. So I don't understand how that's shuffling around one-time monies. I mean, that's three positions, and you know, I'd encourage whoever is saying differently to push back on that a little bit, but I think it's pretty clear in that amendment. Thank you.
Representative Walters.
Reserving for a second. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else speaking on for second opportunity? Representative Burkhart. Oh, sorry. Oh. Representative Allen.
First for a second, please.
Okay. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I want to caution you, if you don't vote in favor for this amendment, because if you vote no, if you vote to reject this amendment, that I wonder about the precedent that it would set. You have your standing committees that oversee these different departments within government. And by not adopting this amendment, the precedent is going to be set that these departments and divisions can come into our standing committees and talk to us and tell us what they want, what sometimes maybe what we want to hear, what we don't want to hear. I don't know. But then they can go to our Joint Appropriations Committee and go ahead and ask for money or ask for a program to be made without going to that particular standing committee that oversees their department. So, again, I would ask you to vote aye on this amendment. Thank you. And
Representative Steinmetz? Do we have those who want to speak on this for the second time? Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All good discussion, very good. And I'm going to have to not support this. I was there. I'm the chairman of that committee, and I specifically asked the task force chairman if, in fact, this creating this Office of Outdoor Recreation was one of their recommendations, and it was not. So I was a little bit surprised when I saw that in the budget message, I will admit. But on the other hand, I think, yeah, I've kind of thought this out. I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I've thought to myself now that I reluctantly can't support this amendment because I want to try something here. And I've talked to some of the folks about, can we sell ads on this website? Can we make this self-funded? Or could it even be a revenue generator? I think that many of you have heard me say this, is that I don't know that the model that we're using now for tourism is necessarily the best. It's a great effort for sure. But I think it's time to try some new stuff. And let's try this. If it doesn't work, we can change it later. And so anyway, I'm going to have to reluctantly not support this. Thank you. Let me leave it on.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, we're looking at targeting a little different audience with this. They're the people who come here to see the great sights in Wyoming. The people that this is targeting are those who come here to really experience Wyoming kind of hands-on. They're the people that hopefully will go to our state parks, and most of us have them near us, will participate in these great outdoor activities that are a little different. They aren't hunting or fishing or just sightseeing. These are active people. These are the people who have the extra money, the disposable income, to spend, and we want them to spend it here. This doesn't create a new department. It doesn't create anything. They move some people around, and they ask for some one-time money. And it's not that much money compared to the overall budget. So I would say, against the amendment, support the concept. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good chairman of our House PRW said, let's try this. We can always take it back. Well, I'd like to remind you of the words of one of our favorite presidents. You know, a government program is the closest thing to eternal life that we'll ever see. But I can't get past the notion that this was done outside the committee. We had this department and people representing outdoor recreators in front of us, in the room, talking to us. And this did not come up. As a matter of fact, we were told, no, we're not going to have a new agency or roll it into another one. And now here it is. And I think the good representative from District 31 had it right. Why have standing committees? Let us all just enjoy our summers and let Joint Appropriations take care of everything. Thank you. Vote aye on the amendment.
Representative Walters. Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to push back on that sentiment. Agencies are executive branch agencies. We have standing committees to work on legislative issues. The executive branch has agencies. Those executive branch agencies may report and come visit with our committees, but they are still executive branch agencies. Our legislative branch does our legislative work through our committee process, and that is the division of governments we have. And so to think that these agencies work for us, the legislature, I think is a little bit of a misconception. And as to this, this is an opportunity to expand Wyoming. We should be all for expanding Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So again, it's very important to note here, this expansion of government is not one-time money. It is not one-time money. It's not one-time money. It's three positions, and it's pretty clear on the amendment. So it's not one-time money. So I think it's very important we clarify that what this expansion of government is doing and what this amendment to reverse that is trying to correct. Thank you.
Representative Pieper-Beenan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the representative from House District 22 and 31. I look at this as a coup on the standing committee process. I would also like to call for a roll call vote on this.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, the microphone doesn't work quickly for me. Again, I'm part of TRW. I heard the result of the report. I heard that they were going to shuffle people around. They're not creating more people. They're taking vacant FTEs to where that they can put together the implementation of a task force that was put together and made recommendations. They said that the basic result of amping up outdoor recreation would be millions of dollars into the state coffers for sales tax and rentals, and I think that that's a good thing. When I was younger, I did a lot of outdoor recreation, and as my knees got bad, I did fewer. But what my family is going to do is in April, we're going to go back to the state with the bees. We're going to rent a truck because we don't want to ruin our truck. We're going on a bicycle ride for over 100 miles. We're renting bicycles. We're buying all sorts of stuff in that state and have a wonderful father-son recreation. You need to develop those kind of packages to where that you can bring more people into the state that are doing more than what we are now. I think that this is a low cost and basically a shuffling of the cost to where that we can grow tourism in the state and we can compete with our lovely state with any state in the union, and I would vote for you to reject this amendment.
Anyone else? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, it sounds like I've heard the word tourism several times in this discussion, and we already have a Department of Tourism, and they are doing a very good job of promoting our state. I think there's a huge overlap here. We do have three vacant positions, so this is your opportunity to decrease this department by three vacant positions. No one's in them, so it will be an ongoing expense if we continue on this course. And $150,000 for a website, that is a lot of money for a website when the Department of Tourism already has websites and they do website design. So the power is in the purse for us over these agencies, these executive branch agencies, and that is our power, and I would urge you to exercise it. Please vote aye on this amendment. Thank you.
We have a call for the question. And roll having been called, the clerk will read the roll. Chief Clerk.
Amendment 11, Allen. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. No. Bovee. No. Brown. No. Burkhart. No. Bird. No. Clausen. No. Clem. Aye. Connolly. No. Court. No. Crank. No. Dayton. No. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. No. Freeman. No. Furphy. Aye. Guru. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. No. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. No. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermueller. Aye. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Piperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. No. Simpson. Aye. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 30 aye, 30 no.
Amendment number 11 to House Bill 1, having failed to achieve a majority, fails. Amendment 12. Oh, privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor. If you look back in the fishbowl, clear in the back, a dear friend from Lucky Number County 13, Carly Henson, could Joe welcome her to the House.
Right, welcome to the House. Takes us to Amendment Number 12 to House Bill 1 on second reading. Representative Halverson. Amendment 12. Representative Halverson.
Forgive me, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I would move the amendment number 12 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment would delete $100,000 from State Parks and Cultural Resources for the We the People program. As we heard earlier in the week, we have marvelous programs here in this state for boys and girls, sponsored by veteran service organizations that are of no cost to the state. They effectively learn the same thing. They learn parliamentary procedure, writing bills, debating bills, running for elections, and at no cost to the state by volunteers from veteran service organizations. That the state is investing $100,000 in a program which I don't know for a fact, but someone has said to me that there is a bias in this program. I don't know that to be true. I'm just repeating what I heard. But I would urge us to save $100,000. And if this is such a valuable program, surely they will be able to find donors such as the veteran service organizations, to take up this worthy program. And I ask for your aye vote.
All right. Do we have anyone to speak on a first opportunity? Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the good presenter of the bill forgot to mention that the other part of this amendment gives $144,000 to behavioral health. So I'd at least like to divide the amendment, 1 through 4 being Division 1, 5 through, 8 being Division 2.
Division of the amendment having been called for, appearing to be appropriate. Does anyone want to speak to Division 1?
While I have the mic, Mr. Chair.
Representative,
I think We the People is a pretty cool program. It's one of those awkward things we have in our – I shouldn't call it awkward – funding it is awkward because it doesn't fall under that activity association that all other high school programs or most other high school programs fall under, everything from sports to debate to those type of endeavors. This has always been one of those that doesn't quite meet the classifications to be included in what would otherwise be funded, and so it has been this other program that we've had, I think this is probably the sixth year now that we've continued to fund it in various ways, so I think it's worthwhile for $100,000. We're taking some of the brightest kids in our state. We're giving them some intensive government education. These are the future leaders who are going to take our seats, God willing, one of these days. And I think we should support smart kids learning about government all we can, which is why I also do these service organization programs. But this is another program, especially in my community, that we really challenge these kids. And they do some great work. I get to judge this. It's impressive. So I'd ask you to vote no on Division One.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would just go on and say I've heard a lot about We the People, but I don't understand. I don't see anything on this amendment that says We the People. So my question is, it just says that we're taking $100,000 out of this general fund, which means that the We the People could still be funded 100%, no questions asked, but we're going to take this money out of this pot, which goes to a lot of other things. So I guess I would be a little curious as to why that would not be the case.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know what more I could add that the good chairman corporations hasn't said. I would ask for your no vote on this. This is a good program for kids, for our high school students, and our students perform well on the national level. This is a program that we run here in the state, and then the winners go on to a national level program and do well. Again, it shows the civic responsibility and concern our youth have, and that I would keep the money, please, in there. So vote no.
Representative Northrop.
Here we go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd urge you to vote no on this. The former chairman of education would probably roll over in his grave if he saw this initiative.
Representative Giroux.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, urge you to vote no on this. This year's 2018. Everyone 18 years and younger in this country was born in this century. Everyone who's going to take this vote was born in the last century. I would hope you'd vote for the kids on this one. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, and in the beginning, the good bringer of this amendment on and against this division, she mentioned that there was a bias in the program, or she had heard of a bias in the program, and I guess I would like to hear more about that and exactly what's going on there and where that information comes from. But this was a governor's letter, and I support this program.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been involved off and on with this program for the last 6 years. One, to the body, I don't see any bias because we work across body lines. I work with every one of you from the other side of the party and my own party and some people that are in a third party to help put this on. The only thing it does is give young people an insight as into how the process works and helps give them a firm grasp on going forward so when they get older, they may be able to replace us in this chamber and know what's going on.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in opposition to this. This is a tremendous program, and it's teaching our youth. And the program has grown over the last several years tremendously. I think this last year they had 500 kids. What better way on the Constitution and about Wyoming, and it is a nationwide actual class that's put on across the country.
Anyone else to speak a first time on Division One? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had the privilege of driving through snowstorms and icy roads to go to Casper to judge this for at least the last 3 years, and I think it's the fourth. I am honored to do that. I very much enjoy the competition. And on the question about bias, you, as a judge, what you do is you hear like about 18 different high schools that present about 18 different kinds of arguments based on the same question. And it's my experience that it's the persons or the team that comes up with the best arguments and support it are the ones that are rewarded with the higher points. So I would urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a program for youth which has become political. This might have been worthwhile to fund when we were flush, but we are no longer flush. And I see this as an easy deletion of $100,000 put back into our coffers for a more worthy purpose, in my opinion. And as I say, if it is such a worthy program, it can be privately funded, just as other programs of this nature are. I urge your aye vote on the division number one to delete $100,000 from the We the People program, which is found on line 17 on page 22.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to go on the record here so my wife can hear this later on, but I was wrong. So I appreciate the influx of help back here once I realized what I had looked at was the wrong division. But still my point stands that if we delete this footnote that is in Section 1, this program can still continue. This is not going to stop this program. This is not what I think that the bringer of this amendment was ultimately trying to do. But and to one other point, it's called We the People. Of course it's political. Vote no.
Anyone else wishing to speak for the first time on Division 1 of Amendment 12? Anyone wish to speak a second time on Division 1 of Amendment 12? I believe Representative Halverson can speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just urge your aye vote on division number one to delete $100,000 from this program. Thank you.
Question having been called, all those in favor of division one of Amendment 12 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The noes have it. Division one to Amendment 12 fails. Moving on to Division 2 of Amendment 12, Representative Zwanitzer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to commend the good bringer on Division Number 2. I think this is very worthwhile where she wants to put this money, and I would strongly encourage your support for Division Number 2.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Division number two would direct $144,000 to the Department of Health for the purpose of the comprehensive waivers. This serves our developmental disabilities population in the communities where they live, and it has been underfunded in this biennial budget, and I urge an increase of $144,000. To this very worthwhile program. Thank you.
Questions having been called, all those in favor? Representative Larson, on first opportunity to speak with respect to Division 2 of Amendment 12. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, I'd just like to point out that JEC put $4 million for the biennium of the comprehensive waiver, and that will be matched by another $4 million. That will be $8 million for the biennium. I'd urge you to resist this amendment.
Anyone else on a first opportunity to speak on Division 2? Anyone wishing to speak on a second opportunity for Division 2? Question having been called, all those in favor of Division 2 say, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the representative who just spoke is correct. There is $8 million in there when you add in the federal matching funds. What he neglects to mention is that the proposal by the rebasing consultant called for $15 million. So you might see a few more amendments from me coming up, trying to get a little more money into these programs. So I urge your aye vote as a start to get $144,000 into the Comprehensive Waivers Program. Thank you.
Do we have a call for the question? All those in favor of Division 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Now the noes have it. Division 2 fails. Amendment 13. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 13, or second reading amendment number 13 to House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Through the interim, committee number 9 was working a bill that kind of dealt with the chief executive's energy policy, and we were trying to find a way to continue some of the research and the studies that have gone through. At the end of the day, we weren't all that happy with our results, so it's sitting in my co-chair's desk drawer where it shall remain. And in place, what we wanted to do is continue this work, and what we're doing with this is we're giving some direction to the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, which is already block funded. This is not requesting any other appropriation. We're just giving some direction on putting together an energy plan, which I think will tie in with some goals that we want to work on in the future of trying to bring together some of the different organizations we've set up over time as need has arisen. The whole idea being, how do we consolidate some of this and create a little bit greater mass out of it? So with that, I'll ask for your favorable vote.
Anyone wishing to speak to Amendment 13? Questions having been called, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Amendment 13 passes. Amendment number 14. Do we have someone to speak on behalf of Amendment 14? Anyone at all? Okay. Representative Zwanitzer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I will pinch it briefly. From what this does, you'll see on page 26 of your budget, this is affecting the state engineer and the Board of Control. You'll remember we talked about it yesterday, I believe, on that we were going to require our state employees basically to have their vacation leave approved to ensure they had adequate year-round employee coverage, especially during July and August. I think the bringer of this amendment thought that was slightly heavy-handed for us to force on state employees, especially for the upcoming summer. Some of them have already made summer plans, and I think there's a group of us in the legislature over the years have tried not to micromanage, and so this is one of those instances we see of micromanagement that we would ask you to take out of the budget at this time.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, back in the old days, in July and August, there used to be shovel fights and people pulled guns and shot people. And then we kind of got the state engineer's office come in and the water commissioner. And in July and August, things are a lot more calmed down because those good folks are doing their work. And I think all this is was a recognition that apparently somewhere in the state there might have been some difficulty with keeping people in their positions during these tough months. So this was an attempt to make sure that during those tough water months we don't go back to the Wild West.
Representative Larson. Representative?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm going to rule or say I have a conflict, so I probably won't be voting, but I do want to put a little input on it. I do work for the Board of Control that it's dealing with. And internally in the agency, they've taken care of this. So they're dealing with it, and I think it's their job to deal with it. Thanks.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As probably the only person in this group that makes his living with water, I have seen firsthand the results of a shovel fight. And, you know, yeah, it's like that. It's the Old West. People get real upset when they don't have water. That's where the start comes from, yeah. So it's really necessary that these people seek approval before they go on vacation just for that very reason. And I wish you would oppose this amendment.
Anyone else wishing? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for not bringing my own amendment. So I guess the only thing that I would say on this is I believe that this is a little bit of an encroachment on separation of powers here. To me, this is just the legislative branch putting their fingers a little bit too far into the executive branch here and dictating. I understand where the concern is coming from. I totally respect that, but I believe this to be just a little bit too much interference in the executive powers. Thank you.
Anyone else on a first opportunity to speak on Amendment 14 to House Bill 1? Anyone wishing to speak?
Yes.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just really quick, you know, we've got a lot of this runaway spending, and in that context, for us not to get the work done that our state needs to get done, I'm just very concerned. And so I think it's very important we have this provision in there to try to ensure that happens. So I'd urge a no vote on this amendment.
Anyone else wishing to speak on a first opportunity? Anyone wishing to speak on a second opportunity on Amendment 14? Representative Brown or Zwanitzer, a sponsor, question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The chair is in doubt. Call for division. All those in favor, please stand. Okay. Those opposed? Amendment 14 fails. Amendment number 46, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Chairman. I bring second reading amendment number 46 to House Bill number 1. This is going to be a big deal to try to pull off, but I think it needs to be done. This amendment takes the State Engineer's Office Board of Control funding out of Water Account 1 and back to the general file. I'd like you all to kind of look for a handout I sent out. It was before lunch, and it should have State Engineer on it, and it should be two-sided. It'll have my House District number 25 on it. Just for a little history on the funding of the State Engineer's Office, from 1890 to 1994, it was in the general file. 1995 to 2004, it went into water account number one. In 2005 to 2017, it was in the general fund, and last year it was split between the two. If you go to the first page, it would be the one that's... I don't know how to say it. It starts with water development account number one up on the top. Kind of shows you the revenues that are coming into the account annually. And those revenues are $23 million. The taxes, that would be from the severance tax share that comes to water account number one, is $19 million. So that gives you an idea of the revenues. And then you can see the expenses, anticipated expenses. And in that call or in that there, you can see the State Engineer has $6.7 million coming out of there. That leaves them $11.5 million to spend on projects. And these projects benefit
everyone throughout the state. And these projects are for design, mainly, of water projects. But I do want you to look down below, and you can see over the years the dollars that were spent, and they're averaging $29.5 million. And just wanted to make everybody realize, on average, 81% of the time, this is spent in municipalities. And we all, most of us do, live in municipalities. So it's mainly for drinking water. The other side of the page, it goes through where water development is spending their money this year. If you go into the water development account number one column, about the fourth one over fifth, you can see the dollar amounts. At the top, you can see all the cities that have been affected here. They get $7.9 million for this year in design of projects or doing the projects. At the top of the top one is Gillette. There's $1.8 million. We can go on down. Sheridan, Northside Transmission. Some of these are subdivisions. They're spending $1.7 million. Most of the time, these are two-thirds, one-third, I think. Two-thirds, I'm pretty sure. Hopefully somebody will correct me if it isn't right. Two-thirds state monies, one-third whoever's working on the project, I guess. And you go on down, you can see down at the bottom, amendments to prior appropriations. We've got some big ones. Gillette Regional Extension 2017. They're going to spend $2.4 million there. So I guess what I'm getting at is if we keep taking this money out of there, we will not have money to spend on these projects for the cities. I'm on the Select Water. It sounds like we can go about two bienniums. At this rate of averaging $29 million per biennium. But if we keep using 13 of it to fund the state engineer's office, obviously you can see cities are going to be affected, and this is a big way to get dollars for water. We had visionary legislators that put this together, and there was a reason for it. These should be kind of untouchable, I think. So I'll leave it at that.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this amendment, folks, no one disagrees that water is necessary and good. But it used to be in the water funds, and Board of Control controls the water, and it was in water funds when times were flush. 10-20 years ago, we did put it on a general fund, but that's not the situation now. In this very chamber last year, as a body, we decided it made sense to move it and put it back in the water category, and that was our decision. You know, if we cut funds and then the very next year come running back and add them back in, we're not really making a lot of progress. So I just also want to point out that we did cut in the budget. JAC cut the Water Development Office 4%. We saw that earlier in the budget, and that was to manage the administrative costs and provide some more water project money. So we have worked on that somewhat. But again, I just encourage the body to stick with the choices that we made. It makes sense to put it back where it was when we didn't have as much money, and we just can't go back and forth on this and add lots, millions of money back in that we took out last year.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That previous speaker is exactly right. We shouldn't be going back and forth. We should have left it where it was last session. Everybody in this room has a water and sewer district, a municipality that benefits from these projects. And as the first speaker mentioned, we keep going at this rate, 13 mil a clip, pretty soon that will all be done. And then we're going to figure out how to fund our water development account one projects then. So the previous speaker was absolutely right. We shouldn't be going back and forth. We shouldn't have done it last year. So let's put it back to where it was. coming out of water account one like it has been for quite a few years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this, or on and for this amendment, excuse me. As you know, everybody's got water in their area. We've all got drinking water. And by taking the state engineer's office and putting it in there, we pretty much have that account. And by having it, that's half the resources available for a project in your area. Think about the implications. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The all told, every biennium, we put roughly between $120 and $130 million into Water 1, Water 2, and Water 3. And this agency then performs the operation of that. And if the and for Water 1, we put in every biennium, we put in about $100 million. And we are one, obviously, we are about the only state in the nation that has this type of available cash to fund these water projects that are paid out starting in the cities 90-10, and plus they get federal funding then for the remainder of those projects. So it's incredible what we can fund for water projects around the state. And in fact, when you have them come in and testify, we ask them, how do you prioritize these projects? They come to the state engineer's office and that are presented, and their answer is, we don't. Because we have enough money to fund them all. And it's just kind of remarkable what we can do. But as the good representative from the center of the state once talked about earlier, if we're going to add back $13 million to the budget by taking this out of the budget, then I would ask you to come up with $13 million to replace it. Since prior to 1998, all these projects, this whole office was funded off of water funds. We only took it out of there because we became flush in roughly, I think it was 2005, that we actually took it out of general funds, took it out of water funds and put it into general funds because we had the money to do it. And now that we don't have the money, we took it back out last year. And to me, the dollars and cents are very simple. If we've got $120 million for water projects around the state, we can fund the operation and distribution of those and the management of them with part of those funds.
Anyone else on a first opportunity to speak? Anyone want to speak for a second time? Oh, Representative Burkhart.
For a second.
Second opportunity. Anyone on a second opportunity to speak on Amendment 46?
Question.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the discussion. It's a big dog to fight, but it's a dog we need to fight. I have to shoot back at the good chairman, Joint Appropriations. I think from the first sheet that I showed you, on Water 1 account, he's saying we're getting $100 million a year to that account from severance, I guess, is what he's saying. I'm not sure. You can see there it's about $19.3 million. So that's a little off. I think it was $100 million per biennium, but here it shows $19.3 per biennium. That'd be $38 million. With interest and payments on principal and such, it's $23 million coming in every year. We're spending 11.5 with the state engineer in there, and you can see we're going to run out of funds to design projects, and they're mainly for cities and towns. I want to call for a roll call. Thanks.
Do we have a second on the call for a roll call? Okay. Roll call having been called, the chief clerk, do we have a call for the question? Call the question. All right. Chief Clerk will read call the roll on Amendment 46. They did in a second. Representative Larson called for the roll. Giroux is a second. Giroux. Paxton. Paxton was the second. Sorry. My apologies. Chief Clerk will call the roll on Amendment 46 to House Bill 1.
Amendment 46, Allen. Aye. Barlow. No. Bightman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. No. Burkhart. No. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Conflict. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. No. Giroux. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. No. Olson. Olson? No. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pipirinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. No. Simpson. Aye. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. No. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 25 aye, 34 no, 1 conflict.
Amendment 46 fails. Amendment 15. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment second reading amendment number 15 to House Bill number 1. Members of the 64th, what this essentially does is it creates some guidelines. Right now, we've got no regulatory guidelines in regards to fire safety on food trucks. And it's actually industry asking for this because as they go from municipality to municipality, that target's constantly changing. And in some cases, it's costing them an entire day's worth of work and money in order to get this permit. And in some cases, they can't even go to a municipality because they can't get this done. Mr. Chairman, this costs nothing. It sets up some aspects that is kind of a statewide that the municipalities and counties can then look to, if they so choose, for that compliance. Not a mandatory. Vote aye.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here we go again, legislating in the budget. And so, members, I would ask you to vote no on this. If we want to go ahead and do something like that, and this is fine, let's go ahead and bring it in a bill form. Let's bring it back general session. vote no on this proposal. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a concern that we, through the agency, create standards and rules and that sort of thing, and then say, well, you can meet them or not, we don't care. I think it's just an exercise in futility. If you're going to have fire safety standards, why don't you enforce them? So I'm a no on this.
Representative Henderson.
What's not to like about food? So the way I look at this is an opportunity. I get it that it may not be a perfect way to do it, but I would just suggest that this is a way to provide some support to those people who are trying to have a go at a business at the local level. And so I would support this.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge a no vote in committee. On top of this, it was more than fire safety. It was also overriding local authority for our towns. We're seeing a real problem in my hometown with food trucks currently in downtown, and it's mostly around parking, and that was also part of this bill that's trying to be reintroduced and backdoored. So I would urge a no vote, and we can look at this in the next session.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage a no vote on this amendment. Boy, we can overregulate ourselves at times, and I know this particular agency, I've been on this floor time and time again. I recall having to amend the statutes so that we could replace light bulbs in senior citizen centers because of this particular agency. The amendment, Mr. Food Freedom and Free Chicken. I just encourage a no vote.
Anyone else wishing to speak for the first time on Amendment 15? Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad I could provide a chuckle with my food truck freedom footnote. Mr. Chairman, what this is essentially about is this is an issue going on in the state where municipalities are essentially banning these businesses from being able to operate via regulation. This sets out pretty easy deal where the industry can actually go with municipalities to work on this together. And that's essentially what we're looking for. I guess if you don't want this one fixed, vote no. But if you want to actually fix something with your budget, vote aye.
Anyone, and I missed the opportunity, anyone wishing to speak to Amendment 15 for the second time? Nope, done. Okay. Okay. My apologies. Question having been called, all those in favor of Amendment 15 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand. All in favor? All opposed. Sorry, all opposed. Thank you. 35. We have 19 ayes, 35 noes. Amendment 15 fails. Amendment 52. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment 52 to House Bill 1, second reading Amendment 52 to House Bill 1. I move the amendment. What this amendment does, we have an enormous problem in our country of illegal immigration. And this is part of ensuring that we're not encouraging illegal immigration. We try to fix the problem. We have to make sure our laws are followed. That's just one of the key roles of our government. And what this does is it requires, it's a footnote on Department of Transportation projects. It requires them to obtain from the contractor written documentation demonstrating that all the contractor's employees and any subcontractors who will work on the project job site are United States citizens. So bottom line here, this is about ensuring that we have our laws followed in our country. It's just very important we do that. So I encourage an aye vote on Amendment 52.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this is just a question back to the bringer of the amendment. Because I recall my first year in the legislature, we had a bill, there was an interim bill, where I brought and inserted as an amendment language to do just that. And so my question is, did you look in our current statutes, and is this provision not in there? And if it's not, fine, but I just want to make sure that that was done.
Anyone else further? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess to echo that, but also I do believe that this is already covered into any contract, but one of my biggest questions is why just this department? Why was this not expanded statewide? Why was this not done with any other contracts that are done within the state? And then I guess lastly, I don't quite understand if this was a major issue within the state of Wyoming. I think this would be better suited for a piece of legislation as opposed to only being good for 2 years in a budget. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just as a point of information, that any federal contractors are already required to do E-Verify. And that E-Verify program that's in place is for anybody that even touches the federal government in any way. I don't see how they're not doing this already. I can pretty much guarantee that they're doing it. So I agree with the amendment, but I don't know that it's necessary.
Anyone else for their first time? Any members for their first time? Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the amendment. I ask your support. Thanks.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't see the relevance. This is a budget bill. You're really going to have to convince me of the relevance of this inside the budget relative to us carrying on the task of the budgeting for the state. I'm against it.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against it, I recall something. This is already a national law. You have an I-9 form if you want to employ people who are immigrating here. I think that's the number. And some other things. I don't see why we target one state agency and put a lot of work like this in a budget bill. I think it's irrelevant.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like my good desk mate, I'm suffering from poor memory. So I'm going to vote yes on this amendment, do my research, and if it's already law, then we'll bring a third reading amendment and pull it out just so we're not duplicating anything.
Any other member their first time? Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would resist this. I think things are already in place, and I think it puts an additional burden on our larger contractors is what I think the bringer of the amendment is targeting by bringing it under Department of Transportation. So I would resist this.
Any other members for their first time? Okay, members for your second time. Any member who would like to speak again on this amendment? To the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as you see here, we see the circular argumentation against this. One minute, it's too burdensome. The next minute, well, they're already doing this. You can't have it both ways. This is very good policy, and we got to make sure our laws are followed. And so if they're already doing it, then they comply with what's in the budget, and I think this is in line with our values. And it's good to have it in there, have a strong vote for our values. And if it's not, then it's good policy. So I'm going to call for a roll call vote on this. Let's get this into the budget, and I think it's a good amendment. Thank you.
Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Malone. Okay, Chief Clerk, please call the roll on Amendment Number 52. Chief Clerk, while she's getting set up, I just want to pause. I just want to thank Chairman Representative Stiff. Did a great job up here in the chair. Great job. Thank you, and we have many, many more hours in these chairs, and so okay. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on Amendment Number 52.
Amendment 52, Allen. No, Barlow. Barlow. Excused, Biteman. Aye, Blackburn. Aye, Blake. No, Bovey. No, Brown. No, Burkhart. No, Bird. No, Clausen. No, Clem. Aye, Connolly. No, Court. No, Crank. No, Dayton. No, Edwards. Aye, Eklund. Aye, Ayer. No, Flitner. No, Freeman. No, Furphy. No, Giroux. No, Gray. Aye, Greer. Aye, Haley. No, Halverson. Aye. Hallinan, excuse me. Hallinan. Aye, Halverson. Aye, Henderson. No, Hunt. Aye, Jennings. Aye, Kinner. No, Kirkbride. No, Larson Lloyd. No, Larson Dan. Aye, Lindholm. No, Lone. Aye, Laux. No, McGuire. No, Madden. No, Miller. Aye, Nicholas. No, Northrup. No, Obermuller. No, Olson. No, Paxton. No, Pelkey. No, Piperinen. Aye, Ponell. No, Salazar. Aye, Schwartz. No, Simpson. No, Summers. No, Steinmetz. Aye, Stith. No, Sweeney. No, Walters. No, Wilson. No, Winters. Aye, Zwanitzer. No, Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Hunt, aye to no. Larson Dan, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 14 aye, 45 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive an affirmative vote of the members, amendment number 52 has failed. We are now on amendment number 16. Representative Gray.
I move amendment number 16 to House Bill 1, second reading amendment number 16. Okay, so what this does, and I got to tell you, there are different areas that I've decided to focus on in the budget, and this is my number one favorite. And this is an amendment that was brought last year in the supplemental session. It's been brought before that as well. And it would sell one of the state jets that our state owns. We are the only state in the union, lowest population in the union, the only state in the union that has two state jets. It's astounding. And it's become this huge cost. You know, I've been going through this report during the interim on the cost of this state jet. It's also become this tremendous metaphor for an out-of-touch government, as Wyomingites are working hard all day. These bureaucrats and politicians are flying over them in one of these two state jets. And so I think it's time for us to sell one of these state jets. I'm sure we're going to get the cost shift argument that this is an increase. But again, the travel budgets in those agencies are already capped. We're not seeing reversions there. So this is no cost change on the backside. This is, in isolation, selling one state jet. This is an increasing travel cost in any other areas. So let's get this done. Let's get these savings and also fix this very troubling message that's being sent. So I encourage an aye vote on amendment number 16.
Are there any other members who'd like to speak for the first time? Representative Salazar?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I spoke passionately and long about this in February of last year. I feel the same way today. In my House district, this issue comes up again and again and again, and I have no reason for it, other than the fact that people are angry in my district that we're spending money on jets and cutting other programs. So I have a general idea of where this vote's going to go, but I want to be on record. I support the amendment. I hope you do too. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any other members? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
on and against the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, about 5 years ago, I brought this identical amendment. But I did more. I also brought, because we have, I think, three or four pilots who have to fly these jets, and so it included the reduction of the pilots and getting rid of those positions. And I lost then, and then it's come up almost every year since then. But over time, frankly, I think my position was wrong at that time. Let me just give you one example. On Saturday, the governor or the chief executive and some other folks are going to fly to two funerals for people who sat in your chairs right now. When we go on certain committees, we're able to travel around and actually go visit certain locations that we'd never have that opportunity to do. If you do a cost analysis, and the good head of the highest position down on the other side of the hall did a cost analysis on it, that if we got rid of one of these birds that we have now, we would lose money because there's no way we could recoup the expenses that we have into that airplane to this day. And so it would be a net money loser. But at the end of the day, if you go through the list on who uses each airplane and where it goes, it's a cost saver, both through time and particularly with the weather we have in the state and the long distances between places, it's an asset to the state. And I would say that if you go a little bit deeper in the homework, for example, the biggest ground-attached state in the nation, they don't have jets, but they have multiple twin-engine airplanes. It's just a selection of the aircraft that you pick. And so it depends on what you're looking for to come up with your data. But at the end of the day, it's an efficient way to travel, and it benefits our state, and it's a money loser to sell.
Mr. Speaker, Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Before I had this gig as a legislator and was just a rancher, I was asked by a governor to serve on a task force, and so I wasn't a state employee, wasn't involved in state government. I was asked to serve on this task force, and if it wasn't for that, I probably, with the use of that plane and able to move and go to some meetings, I probably wouldn't have been able to been on that. I just didn't have the time. Other people on that, these were all, everybody that rode the plane, in fact, it was pretty odd. Only when there was an open seat did a public employee sit on that plane. The whole other time, it was private citizens being moved to this task force meeting. And I think that happens a lot. It's in Wyoming, when we got bad roads and we got big, long spaces, the opportunity to involve citizens that wouldn't otherwise be able to take 2 days off their job or 3 days off their job to attend a meeting. I think it's critical to get citizen participation on and against this amendment.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker just spoke to the fact that these are not just a bunch of bureaucrats flying around. They're unpaid volunteers, and it's just a better way of getting them around. The planes were bought three administrations ago. They had a bunch of extra money. They paid for them then. They're pretty much worthless now for anything but our own use. I've sat through the cost analysis, and it's worth having them. We do not have a charter plane service in much of the state. There might be a little here and there, but for the most part, there isn't any. And I wanted to correct something that keeps being said, that they're luxury liners. These things are like a culvert that you fall into the seats on, and they've got wings. And the one doesn't even have a bathroom. And I think they both have coffee machines. But the only thing good about them as far as luxury goes is they're fast. You don't necessarily need a bathroom on the other one.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When this was brought up last year, I was in favor of it. But similar to the good appropriation chairman, I have since seen the light in a certain regard. I think that that's correct, that this is not necessarily a cost savings. And furthermore, I remember last year that it was brought up that there were a few states in this country where they do not own planes. But that being said, all states have, to some degree, have to have an on-hand form of air transport it doesn't have to be the chief executive. It can be, as the previous couple speakers stated, private citizens who are on boards, who are on task force, whatever. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Stith.
On and for the amendment. I have one word, Skype.
Okay, anyone else? Representative Olson, are you?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, there's a lot of talk about these planes and what they're worth. I think they're worth a couple million dollars, to tell you the truth. When they're bought brand new, they're worth a lot more than that, nearly $10 million. Now, they're pretty old. They've definitely been used some, but I still think that's more than nothing. So we're talking about $2, $3, $4, maybe $5 million for a jet. We have two of them. All we're asking to do is sell a jet off. Add a couple million dollars to your general fund. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Vote aye.
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Speaker, for those of you who have not been around here, we did redistricting a few years ago. I'm going to give you a scenario of what we did one day. We had two half-day meetings in the northern part of the state. I got on that particular plane here in Cheyenne at 6:30 in the morning. We proceeded to ferry around the entire state to pick up a committee member so we would have 9 people riding that plane. We executed the first half-day meeting. We got on the plane. We picked up 2 extras to fill out the plane. We flew, and we executed a second meeting and then returned all of those people home. The question is, how valuable is the time of the individuals to execute the business of the state? We can't do this without those planes. You'll have to show me that we have some other venue that's capable of executing the state's business with that efficiency before I would vote yes, on and against.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just going to go through a little list here of our surrounding states. The state to our south owns 5 airplanes. The state to our west owns 3. The state to our north owns 22. The state to our immediate east owns 3. The state that doesn't quite border us but is north and east of here owns 8, not counting the 56 that they are used for aerospace and the additional 72 that they use for training purposes within the educational portion. The state to our southwest has 7, and we have a total of 3. So to say that other states don't use aircraft significantly is really out of line. This is a great way to move people around the state. All of our constituents want to see our elected officials. They want to see the duties of the state carried out in an efficient manner. And from a cost-effective standpoint, if you can fly somebody to the northern part of the state and back in the same day or fly a plane load of people up there, that's a day up and a day back driving and 2 nights of hotel rooms. Right there, you've paid for the cost it took to fly them up and back and do all that work in one day. So this is a cost-effective way of administering government. And as I just stated, every state does this. Every state has aircraft, and every state uses them efficiently. So please vote no.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to take exception to the insinuation that it's a bunch of fat cats flying over the people of Wyoming with no regard to their welfare. What it is quite the opposite. It's the executives and the people who run the state being more connected to the people of Wyoming. And a good example is on Saturday at 10 o'clock, the good representative who's from my town will be laid to rest. And the people in my town expect the chief executive to be there. He will be there, as he is at most of these funerals. And it gives our constituents a chance to meet with him and to grieve with him and to be with him. And so it's important for the people of the state of Wyoming to have that mobility and to have people come and celebrate or grieve with them when the time is right. And if you don't have the way for him to get around the state by air, well, if you've got a 10 o'clock service, by the time he gets up to Casper, goes through the service, has lunch, and gets back, that's an entire day, and you just can't ask him to be working 7 days a week. So it's vital to have this fast form of transportation, and we've also heard about the committees and everything else. unfortunately, we have a very large state, and the only way to get these people around is by air. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members? Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge a no vote on this also. I think they're very, you've heard it, the other arguments. I think before this, before we had the two citations, I believe we had one or two King Airs, and they found, I believe, in the pricing that these two aircraft were similar in pricing to the turboprop. So I would, I think they're very efficient, and I think the state does a great job with them. Vote no on this.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, to begin with, we're not asking to sell two. We're going to only sell one. And I think to an earlier speaker about how far it is to drive, well, most of us know how far that is to drive across this state one way or the other. And our constituents know how far it is to drive across this state. We're not asking to make the executive branch walk. We're just asking that there's a such a thing as perception to the people. And to my constituents, I've had that asked many times. Two? Really?
Any other members would like to speak for their first time? Seeing none, we're going to move to second time before the sponsor. Any members? Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, this is selling one, not two, but let me address some issues, because this really is important in my district. In the coffee shops in my district, and I can only speak for my district, a rural district, in senior centers and coffee shops, I am truly asked, members, what is the state doing with jets? And I can go down the list of the programs. I don't care if it's tax rebates for seniors. I can go through the list. You know them. I'm not going to waste your time. But I want you to know that in my district, this truly is an issue. And I honestly believe this is something that we need to do. And it's so difficult to justify it in my rural community. It really is. And for good reason. For good reason. Last February, I stood up and argued this same issue, and I bored you with the single-parent mom, the seniors, the retired veterans. It is a difficult issue for my constituents to understand why the state has these jets when so many other things of much more importance is being cut. One jet being sold. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members for their second time for the sponsor? Seeing none. To the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So again, what this amendment does, and it's very important here, we got a lot of changing of the amendment in some of the arguments. This sells one. And to try to build this argument that, for example, this weekend, funerals of people aren't going to be able to go to those, I think it's really unfortunate. There's still going to be one state jet. So let's not change what the amendment does and try to and build a different thing here. This is one state jet, one state jet. The other thing that I thought was very interesting as they read through these other states, they don't bifurcate jets versus other types of aircraft, okay? So that's another kind of different characterization. There are two state jets, and we're the only state that has two state jets. So when they run through that, it's a different argument they're making from what I'm saying. The other thing I'd like to say is on the cost side. Again, we're not changing and increasing at all the caps on in and out of state travel in these agencies. We're not increasing that at all. So they're going to pay for any of the automobile travel out of those expenses that are already there, that are not reverting. They're not reverting. That's reality. And so this argument that it's increasing costs in other areas, it just, it doesn't stick. Doesn't stick. And we can go back to the other amendments that this has brought, but the caps in other areas are not increasing. So there's no increases in other areas. This is just a savings. And we can talk about the other savings if this passes in other areas. There are other savings as well if this passes in maintaining them and all the associated costs. The other thing I'd like to say is I've talked a lot with my district about this, and I haven't heard one person say they've been on these jets. And so I think to say that this is not necessarily just politician, I haven't heard that. And I think we need to have some humility here, some perspective, and realize that we should have the same mode of travel as our constituents. And I think that's just a basic standard. And if people want to fly commercial on their own, they can do that. If people want to drive on their own, they can do that. If they're following the rules and using it from other parts of agency budgets, they can do that. But to say that there's going to be this special carve-out for these state jets is very troubling. So again, this sells one state jet, just one. So I'll have one to handle some of these other situations. And I'd like to call for a roll call vote on this. Thank you.
Hey, point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Point of order.
So, one of my favorite things to do around this body, for those of you who remember, is the rules in the rule book. So let me start off easy under 8.5 and issue a protest for coercive tactics at this point. But if we keep doing this, calling for the eyes and nose every time, I can find more creative rules. Just so I would like my protest issued in the journal, for the journal committee.
Okay, according to Rule 8.5, we will. Your protest is noted in the journal. Thank you. Okay, do we have a second on the roll call request? Seconded by Representative Edwards. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on House Bill or House Amendment Number 16.
Amendment 16. Allen. No. Barlow. No. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. No. Blake. No. Bovee. No. Brown. No. Burkhart. No. Byrd. No. Clausen. No. Clem. Aye. Connolly. No. Court. No. Crank. No. Dayton. No. Edwards. Aye. Ackland. No. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. No. Freeman. No. Furphy. No. Giroux. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. No. Haley. No. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. No. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. No. Madden. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Pipirinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. No. Simpson. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. No. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 14 aye, 46 no.
Having failed to receive a majority of those elected, Amendment Number 16 has failed. Our next amendment is Amendment Number 17. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading of Amendment Number 17 to House Bill 1. Ask for your positive consideration. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a much lighter version of number 16 that we just got done. This is a The easiest way to see what this amendment does is to go to your summary sheet on page 21. And we talked a little bit about footnote 8 on page 21, and it's where JAC adopted the governor's recommendation of $160,000 for capital security, just like the governor, but changed the funding from the capital rehabilitation and restoration account to the general fund. And it's only $160,000. You might say, well, that's kind of splitting hairs here, but there's a story behind this that, you know, at least since 2013 or maybe before, you know, these departments like transportation and game and fish and other similar ones, we've been working on getting their funding self-funded instead of relying on the general fund. You know, for example, prior to, including 2013, we were putting $100 million or more of general fund money in YDOT, all right? And if you back up about 10 years, it added up to $750 million, which is totally inappropriate. And we got down to, if you look at the revised governor's recommendations on the summary sheet, there was no money from the general fund. And I thought that was really an accomplishment. And for some reason, what they did is they said, well, we're not going to use this capital rehabilitation and restoration account. We'll use general funds instead, and it's for security for the involved with the capital renovation process itself. And after I did some investigation on this, we found out that there's at least one other employee that's kind of the bookkeeper of the whole project that has been hired to be the kind of the overall bookkeeper to keep track of the books for that thing. And it's taken out of the capital rehabilitation and restoration accounts for the department that he's supervised by. And I just think to make it parallel and to make it fair, the security that, of course, goes through YDOT because it's their patrolmen that do it, that we should call it general fund. So what's the logic behind this? What we've done is if you look at the amendment, it says on page 29 of the budget bill now, we're going to decrease general fund, and then other funds will increase it. And that means that we had to add, if you look at page 85, line 6, that's a 300 series. It's E, I believe it is. Yeah, 300E. And it just adds that $160,000 that was the amount of money that it took to pay off the capital rehabilitation project in its entirety. So that's all it is. It's kind of a picky thing, but I think, you know, once we get the general fund out of a department, I just hate to ever see it go back in on purpose like that. Maybe we'll have to do it sometime, you know, because of necessity, but this is just, I don't know why they did it. Maybe we'll hear why. I urge your support for this.
Any other members for the first time? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thanks for the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, there's lots of good reasons for it, but probably one of the most important ones is this capital restoration account. Before I got involved in the oversight committee reviewing it, we had spent close to $14 million out of that fund for things that are unrelated to the capital renovation project. They built a parking lot and then put a new sewer storage retaining basin underneath it for $1.2 million. And now we have security not only at the Capitol, but we have it at the Chief Executive's residence, we have it at 2020 Cary, and we have it here. And so we have all these other things that were wrapped into the fund for capital restoration that we're paying for things that should not be part of the reconstruction of the Capitol. And so this was just one attempt to control that money grab, if you will, for pulling out of that account so we can make sure we get that project done and on budget and on time.
Any other members for their first time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. No? Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. So last year on this floor, we talked a lot about we got to get all the general fund money out of this agency. And we just are putting $160,000 back in. And I know it's for a specific reason, but that was really the policy. And we talked a lot about this with water funds. And one of the good members of this committee, you know, said if we cut the funds and we run and put them right back in the next session, we're not making any progress. So I fail to see. I understand that we have a precise number, but we made a policy decision last year, same legislators, besides two, that said no more general funds anywhere in the Department of Transportation. So all this does is take that and put it back to really where the pot of money should be, and hopefully we don't over-budget it by another $160,000 out of $81 million.
Any other members for the first time? Moving to second time before the sponsor, Chairman Nicholas.
Excellent. And I would respectfully disagree with that, the prior comments and the ones from the bringer of the bill. The other funds will come out of YDOT funds. It won't come out of general funds. So it's essentially we're giving them one more responsibility in their $1.2 billion annual or biennial budget.
Okay, all right, we're moving on to the sponsor, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me straighten that out. We're not putting this back on YDOT. What we're putting it back on is the Capital Rehabilitation and Restoration Account. It's not going to make any difference general fund-wise where the which account we call it. But the thing is, we're putting it where it belongs. I would argue that security during the construction of that facility is related to the project itself. Now, the other things, the $14 million for putting a sewer pipe or some or sewer pipes in across the street, I mean, that's water over the, well, I was going to say water over the bridge, but... But anyway, if that shouldn't have been there, I'm not arguing whether it should or shouldn't have been, but clearly, just like the bookkeeper is, this is related directly to the project, and I think we should, all we've done is replenish out of the general funds an additional $160,000 in this capital rehabilitation account. So I urge your support. Thank you.
We're voting on amendment number 17. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. We are now on amendment number 18. That was adopted, and we're going to have a roll call, folks, because that is any amendment that has an increase or a decrease in general fund requires. Okay, I stand corrected. My note here requiring a roll call is corrected. Amendment number 17 is passed. We are now on amendment number 18, Representative Loan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 18 on House Bill 1, second reading. Open up your budget books to page 29, and it actually might work better to go off the disclaimer sheet that we received. Under item number 5 on the disclaimer sheet, page 21, there was a recommendation to increase funds $1.2 million for real ID cards because the federal government has ceased funding. I argue if the federal government ceased funding, it's probably a program we don't need. So I make the recommendation to remove those funds from real ID and put them into something we really need, and that's highway construction. So I ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Any other members of First Time? Chairman Eklund.
Okay, so I was trying to figure out what this is, and this is special revenue. I believe I'm correct on that. And the revenue comes from insurance companies that get records information from the driver services program. And if the money is collected for other purposes other than paving roads, I don't think we can even do it is the first thing that I'd say. The second thing I'd say is that if we take it out of driver services, we're already pretty well strapped. Most of you have heard, at least the larger towns have heard about the long lines to get your driver's license. Well, this would probably make it longer and possibly close some of them down that are smaller. So I would encourage everybody to resist the amendment. It doesn't do what we think it does. It just removes money out of driver services.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Short and sweet. This effectively eliminates those small towns that many of you guys represent for driver services. I would be very wary of this amendment. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Representative Blake.
I'm good. I'm a railroader. I'm great at waiting for things to happen. I urge you to resist this amendment, and this is my reasoning on it. We've been in this program for quite a few years, and almost every person with a driver's license has already cycled through this program, so we don't want to stop this program. Our IDs are great when you go to an airport. They say it's a Wyoming driver's license, and you go right through. So that's what I, you know, I see somebody up there grumbling. Anyways, I urge you to resist this amendment.
Any members? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm a little confused. I keep hearing this is about the Real ID program, and I also hear that it's about driver services, which is a records program that insurance companies pay for. So assuming that it's a special revenue source from insurance companies that they pay for the records requests, why are we taking that money that they give us for records requests, which doesn't actually pay for the whole program, and putting it towards highway funds? The program's still there. If we can't provide the records request to the insurance companies, you're going to have some trouble getting car insurance for your driving abilities and that. And I think roughly it would put them in about $1 million hole for money. They would be out that much money for that program. So, and most likely they would probably cut some positions. So I think this would have a significant impact on us directly. When you go to renew your insurance for your vehicle, that if they say we can't get a request, they aren't going to give you insurance. So on and against this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of the amendment, I was struck by the news that the federal government has yet again abandoned the states and left us with this program, as it has done in so many other instances, the low-income energy assistance program is the first one that comes to mind. Let's try something different. We tried for years after the low-income energy assistance program was canceled by the federal government. Wyoming tried to carry it. We did this as a service. We thought it was the right thing to do, but eventually we could not sustain this. So let's cut this off right here, right now. If the federal government no longer sees value in this program, then let's Wyoming just plain old drop out of it. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Okay, any members for the Chairman Madden?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason I ask you to resist this amendment is that, you know, for years and years, that driver's license division, the licensing division, has been a money loser, all right? And those of you that were here last year, remember the pain and suffering we all had to go through for increased fees to make that thing cash flow. And now they finally got it up, so they're not taking money out of other parts of YDOT, and they're paying their own way, so to speak. This means that people that have driver's licenses are paying their own way. And I think that this would be a step backwards. I mean, if we do this, the increases in fees that we had last year will be wiped out and will be in the hole in the driver services division again. So please consider that and vote no.
The question's been called for. Okay, we're now on the second opportunity to speak. Representative Clem. Any others? Anybody wish to say? Chairman Eklund.
Well, I'm kind of confused as to where some of this information is coming from, because my understanding is a special revenue was paid by the insurance industry, and it was for, those were fees collected from driver services, and they're looking at the same amendment I am, and I'm not understanding it. I'd resist the amendment, maybe a third reading amendment or something to clear up what we're even talking about.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess based on my quick discussion with the sponsor, I'm wrong. Now I'm very confused. He said this is about the footnote or note 5 on the summary sheet, which is real ID. And I guess being that confused, my approach is vote no. Take care of it and be more specific in a third reading amendment if you really want this. I wouldn't support it anyway. Without real ID, you want to go get on an airplane, take passport. And I just had mine renewed. It'll cost you somewhere around $150, $200 to do that. Your driver's license costs you a lot less, and it's just as good to board an airplane. Thank you. On and against.
Any other second speakers? We're after second speakers. Representative Brown, did you speak on the first go-round?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, then.
Very quickly, what this would ultimately do is it already costs more to run the driver services program than what they bring in off the fees that we already increased last year. So in order to cover that, if they take this out of this driver services program, they're going to have to move money from the highway fund to cover this, which is ultimately a wash for what this is trying to do, which is cover highway funds. So this amendment ultimately doesn't really do what it's attempting to do. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak on the second time? Seeing none, Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman. My apologies. Like I said, this was a federal program. They've drawn back from it. Why do we continue to keep it? Vote aye on the amendment.
We're now voting on the amendment. Chief Clerk, please call. Oh, Do we need a roll call on this? Okay. Thank you. All those in favor, please indicate. Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
Noes have it. Amendment number 18 has failed. We're now considering Amendment 19, House Bill number 1.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got the next amendment here, but before we do that, I recognize a familiar face from back home. He's a councilman from the city of Gillette. Please welcome Councilman Billy Montgomery. Billy, would you be recognized? There we go.
Welcome to the floor. Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Congratulations, everyone. We finished the first row. We only have 1.5 rows to go, 150% of what we've already done. So at this rate, it may be tomorrow before we're finished.
Representative Clem.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I would move second reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. So members, what this does, this has to do with the palliative care council that's in your budget. All right. So we passed this council last year, we passed legislation last year that establishes a palliative care council. And among the things that we say there is this. So I have the statute actually right in front of me. And one of the things we say here is that funding for expenses of the council shall come from the budget of the department unless the governor within his discretion as permitted by law transfers funds from a different budget. The way I read that there is that funds for this council actually must come from within the budget. Unfortunately, what we do here in the budget bill is we take $25,000 of new money and add it so that we can fund this council. Now, what are we funding this council for? Well, really, we're funding it for the minimum two meetings that they meet for a year. Could be more than that. And we do not compensate them. However, we do pay for travel and per diem, or the governor may approve travel and per diem for this group. So what I did here is I took out the $25,000 of general funds, of new money. I said, we can't do that, according to the statute. But what I do is I do allow, I permit them to have spending authority of $15,000 from within their own budget. Where did I get the $15,000 from? Well, I got the $15,000 just kind of doing some basic fuzzy math in my head with my calculator. About 10 members of this advisory council for 3 2-day meetings with traveling and per diem and all that kind of stuff and extra day travel. And I got roughly around $16,000. So I just capped it at $15,000, and that should be sufficient amount for them to go ahead and do their work. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for any questions.
Representative Swartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the motion, I'll start with this council. I mean, I believe the palliative task force actually has the potential for a very valuable contribution to this state, because palliative care provides for what I consider to be better treatment for people with terminal illnesses. Having said that, what the statute says is two at a minimum per year. So this is funding for a biennium of two at a minimum per year. So I believe that the calculation used to get to the $15,000 might not be exactly correct. When the original request came in, it was actually much higher than the $25,000. Actually, I volunteered. I'm the one who brought this motion. I reduced that amount because I thought that was excessive. If they don't use the $25,000, it will revert. My third point is that the Department of Health, if there is a stressed agency,
in our government, it's the Department of Health, and we can see that in how we've had to deal with their budget this year, where they didn't even have enough money to deal with their responsibilities for the rest of this fiscal year. And I know that my good colleague on appropriations could tell me exactly what that amount was we had to fund them. $20 million for the rest of the biennium? Close enough. So the notion that they can just find some money somewhere in their budget, I've been corrected, it was 21, that they can find money in their budget to take care of this task force is an illusion. We need to give this task force money so they can do good things for the citizens of this state. Thank you.
Representative Hellinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, this is a drop in the amount of money that's going to be appropriated for the Department of Health, which suffered a 10% drop in its biennium budget 2 years ago. Second, the issue of opioid abuse is a very hot topic right now. What are the appropriate uses for opioids? That's a hot topic for discussion on the Palliative Care Committee. And it's a very appropriate one to discuss there. Part of the original bill, I'll read that to you from page 5 on palliative care. When appropriate, advise the State Board of Pharmacy, the Attorney General, the Division of Criminal Investigation, and local law enforcement on the needs of palliative care patients for prescription drugs and how to accommodate those needs consistent with efforts to control the dangerous and illegal uses of these drugs. This committee has already had a meeting on palliative care, and they discussed at that meeting the use of opioids. And the chairman of that committee is an oncologist from the northern part of the state. And that is a high priority of the palliative care committee. So I think it's not only appropriate, it is necessary that we put this $25,000 into this program right now. I can't think of any better uses for $25,000 in our budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak for the first time? Seeing none, we're talking the second time. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to echo the thoughts of the good representative from the northeast corner of the state and just remind you, this task force ultimately will save the state money. Many of these people who will be impacted by this palliative task force are on Medicaid. 50% of that money is paid, saved for the state. I urge you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, some good points that are being made here. So I thought about what to do here. I could come back with a third reading amendment. We could be here till midnight on Friday. Instead of doing that, I'm just going to try to just either pass this thing or kill this thing right now. And so what I'm wanting to do, Mr. Chairman, is to divide the amendment, lines 1 through 3 being Division 1, lines 4 through 10, or 4 through 7 being Division 2.
That's divisible. Which division would you like to take up first?
Mr. Chairman, speaking on and in favor of Division 1, which is lines 1 through 9, so this is under the general fund, decrease the amount by $25,000. And so, Mr. Chairman, simply what this would do is this would decrease the amount of general funds. Again, going back to the statute that we passed just a year ago, it states that funding for this palliative care council shall come from within the shall come from within their department's budget. We are adding new money. We are going completely contrary to what we just passed in statute last time around. In regards with Division 2, well, with Division 2, we'll speak on that in a moment. Or I guess I can only speak on Division 1.
Representative Clem?
Division 1 is lines 1 through 3.
Thank you.
And again, that's the general fund decrease of $25,000. I'm going to leave the other thing alone. It'll be $25,000 that the department can spend from within its budget, because I do stand corrected. This biennial budget should be enough for 2 years. And so I think they should have spending authority for $25,000, but I do think it has to come from within their own budget per the statute that we passed last year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're now considering Division 1 of Amendment 19. Any discussion on Division Number 1? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will repeat as briefly as I can what I said before. The Department of Health doesn't have enough money to cover what they're doing already. We gave them $21 million just to meet the shortfalls of the rest of fiscal 18. I urge you to vote no on Division 1.
Any other discussion? Representative Loan.
Vote aye on Division 1. It's in accordance with our statutes.
Any other discussion? Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this $25,000 is not a huge amount of money, and it's money that is well spent if it's used for this program. Therefore, I would be against this Division Number 1 amendment.
Question. Representative Sweeney.
I urge a no vote on this. The discussion needs to continue. I don't believe the department can find the $10,000 or $25,000 within their budget. Urge a no vote.
Speaking, all those who desire to speak on the second time on Division Number 1.
Question.
Seeing none, we move on to the two. Oops. Question has been called for Division Number 1. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
The noes have it. Division Number 1 fails. Representative Clem, what do you want to do with Division Number 2?
Mr. Speaker, I mean, we could vote no on this. If it pleases the chair, I'll just withdraw it. I think it makes no sense to go through the motions here for sake of time.
Thank you, Representative Clem. Division 2 is withdrawn. Oh, sorry. The amendment has been withdrawn. Very good. We're now considering Amendment Number 20 of House Bill Number 1.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill, or excuse me, Second Reading Amendment Number 20 to House Bill 1, ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this is just actually a conforming provision. This shouldn't take any time at all. It doesn't increase or decrease expenditures. It just is in reference to House Bill 170, which is going through the process right now. It's going to be heard before a good Appropriations Committee here, looks like tomorrow morning at this point. And so all it says is this footnote shall not be effective if the 2018 House Bill 170 is enacted into law. I would ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what we've done in appropriations, or JAC, is we funded the fees off from these records back into the Children's Trust Fund for 2 years. This bill that's coming forward extends it on out. So I support it and call for the question.
Question has been called for. We're voting on Amendment Number 20, House Bill Number 1. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed may say no. Ayes have it. The amendment passes. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce, and I don't want to, Representative Swanitzer is behind this privilege, but I'd like to introduce the mayor of Cheyenne. She's in Natrona County, Philly, but she's also the mayor of Cheyenne. But she has some really exciting news for Cheyenne and really all of Wyoming. If you got a few seconds, okay. Welcome to Mayor.
Thank you very much. I will be brief. I know that you have been working early and late. Some really exciting news for Cheyenne. When I took office, one of my initiatives was what I determined Fight the Blight and trying to take care of the abandoned and neglected businesses within certainly our downtown core and what I call the original city. So not just downtown, but our west edge and our south side. And I had the opportunity to apply for the mayor's challenge. It's a Bloomberg Philanthropies challenge. And months ago, we did a submission. There were over 500 cities that submitted an application for this challenge. And it was announced this morning, Cheyenne, Wyoming is one of 35 cities in the country to be a finalist. Thank you. We are among the likes of Boston and Austin, Texas, and Oklahoma City. We're in good company, and I'm really excited. Our program is called Buildings with a Purpose, and we're going to use technology and mapping to marry entrepreneurs with property owners whose businesses and their real estate is either vacant or underutilized. So we're going to be launching that. We're given a coach here in the next 6 months. We've got to finalize our project. And again, being one of the 35, they end up selecting five, and those winners get $1 million or $5 million if you're the winner for the entire state. And I'm a bit of a competitor, so I think that we can get that $5 million. It would certainly go a long way for our community. I know that you all know your budgets, but it's just such an honor, I think, that not only Cheyenne and Wyoming to be on the map with innovative thinking, and that's what you all are working on. And in our communities, what I've been saying, and certainly thank you for the work, and I won't lobby, but I really believe it's up to the communities to help really diversify our economy. And it's programs like this that allows us to help you make our state as great as it is. So thank you so much for the work that you do. And we're really pretty pleased in Cheyenne, but I think it really speaks well for the entire state.
Thank you, Mayor, for visiting the House of Representatives. Members, back to the bills. We are now considering Amendment Number 60 of House Bill Number 1. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What great news. I move second reading amendment number 60 to House Bill 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, this to me, I think, is the first of what looks like many Department of Health budget amendments. The one before you does three distinct things. And so in order to have you follow it, I'm going to give you the line numbers and what they each do. All right, not so that you can divide it. I just want you to vote yes on the whole thing, but in order to understand what's going on. All right, so lines 1 through 4. What lines 1 through 4 do is restores about $3 million to the department budget split between the general fund and federal fund for disabled employed individuals who have breast or cervical cancer who are currently being treated. So this was something that the JAC took out of the budget, you know, against the governor's recommendation. I did a little bit of research into what's going on here and what this would mean. The reality is what this would mean is that individuals who are currently in treatment, and remember, these are disabled, employed individuals, would no longer be getting the treatment that they're now getting for cervical and breast cancer.
This is a program that this body eliminated last year, and the governor said no, that this was too important, and it was restored. Understand that these are people who are currently getting treatment that we would throw off of the treatment that they need and that they're getting. These are people also who, when we heard the kind of the budget presentation, we were told that they could get insurance elsewhere. Again, these are people who are those who are most likely not to be able to get insurance. They're employed and disabled. They make too much money in order to get the kind of insurance and help that they need. So that's the first one, and I would encourage you to restore this money. Again, it's a one-to-one match with the feds for $3 million. Okay, moving on to, it's a completely different element, line 5 as well as line 10. What this does is remove that footnote number 4, and then the language of footnote number 4 says that the Department of Health can't use outdoor advertisement for infectious diseases. All right, number 1, I think this is way too much micromanaging. All right, I think I made my view clear about that when I was asking some questions yesterday. But also, you know, why would we be telling the Department of Health that they shouldn't be kind of putting up a billboard about Lyme disease or Salmonella, or when I looked at their website, there's 40 different infectious diseases. This might be the most effective way to get to people. So what lines 5 and 10 do is get rid of that footnote that says the Department of Health shouldn't put up outdoor advertising. Then lines 6 through 9, that addresses a small budget item. It's $144,000. And honestly, this was one of the Section 320 reductions, and we didn't talk a whole lot about that, just accepting the governor's recommendation based on what the agency had suggested. And this is one that once I thought about it, it was important to me to kind of bring it to our attention and to consider bringing it back again. This $144,000 is used to help the families of 65 disabled children where the families are taking care of those kids for respite care, where each of those families get about $1,200 a year for others to come in and take care of their disabled children while they do something else. And I thought about what it is that they'd be doing. It would be things like, you know, you imagine perhaps that nice vacation, but the reality is it's for anything and everything, including going to a funeral, including the need to take care of someone else. This is $1,200 for these families is absolutely a lifesaver. And I think what we should be saying to these families who are taking care of their disabled kids year-round, 24 hours a day, is thank you so much. And this is a tiny amount in our budget. But can you imagine the constituents, the people in your communities who use this service and what they need? So I would urge us to kind of reject the governor's 320 recommendation and put this $144,000 back in the budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I start trying to gather chickens back into the coop, could I have a privilege of the floor?
You may.
So, folks, I'd like to just recognize some folks from our fair city in Lander. We got Ray Gene Fawson here and one of our town councilmen. And I'm sitting here looking, and he sent me a thing, and when you get to be my age, you can't remember. Calhoun, Councilman Calhoun, I apologize, Minister Calhoun, if you'd please stand. And so, Mark, don't be embarrassed. I can't remember my own kids' names half the time when I see them. So
welcome to the house.
I apologize for that. So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, folks, this is these are kind of important. This is kind of an important amendment, and I appreciate the good representative kind of dividing that in half, and that or dividing that up and explaining it as she did. It's really important that we look at that first part on the people with disabilities that are employed and those that are getting breast cancer screenings. Now, as you heard that explanation, at least the way I heard it from her presentation is would lead me to believe that that was people with disabilities that have breast cancer. And that's incorrect. And I need to share, this is what the Department of Health sent me when they were showing me the budget. It says, Wyoming Medicaid made various reductions to its operating budget as part of the 17-18 budget reduction requirements, including proposal to end certain benefits. The benefit for employed individuals with disabilities, a Medicaid buy-in program, as well as Medicaid coverage for breast cancer and cervical cancer screenings for individuals with incomes over 100% of federal poverty level were proposed to be eliminated. So it's two different programs. So you've got a group of people who are employed but have disabilities, and then you've got another group that of women who, to her description, can get cervical and breast cancer screenings and receive treatments for that cancer. Now, my understanding is, in what the Department of Health told me, is that clients could enroll in, because those individuals could enroll in subsidized coverage on the individual marketplace. So what they can do is go to the individual marketplace, and if they qualify for that, in that financial standing, would be able to be subsidized for those same benefits. We passed that last year. The governor says, well, he was uncomfortable with it, not understanding, and told the Department of Health they had to pay for it anyway. So that's one of our shortfalls for this biennium. Our approach to this under JAC was certainly, we don't want to cut services to those populations. And even if it was one population, as described, we still wouldn't want to. But they're eligible to receive these same services under the current marketplace insurance. And so we're not going to be denying them any of the benefits that they get or any of the services that they would require. That's important to note, please. The second thing is the outdoor advertising. So you come into the beautiful state of Wyoming, you're driving perhaps down a part of the state that has a tower that perhaps has ownership to the devil, or you are coming by some mountains up in the northwest part and you see a big sign that says Wyoming has gonorrhea. Well, that ought to pack them in. You know, that's just what we're needing, and that's exactly the sign that you saw. Well, I promise you, it wasn't the tourism board that sponsored that sign. And when some of our good legislators saw that, they were a little unhappy, and they said, "Knock it off. We don't need this." Well, it was an effort to educate people. We understand that, but geez, there's probably a different way to do that. And so we put that in a footnote and says, "No. We're not going to allow that. We're just not." So that's those two things. The third one was described accurately. There is a, and we talked about that when I presented the bill, and that is a decrease in respite care for individuals who are not currently on a waiver, a DD waiver or any kind of waiver. They're just on it, and it serves about 65 individuals, I believe, to about $1,200 a year. And her report of that is accurate. So I would So I would encourage you to vote no on this bill, on this amendment, and
Representative Brown.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I've moved to divide the amendment. Lines 1 through 4 being Section 1. Lines 5 and 10 being Section 2. And lines 6 through 9 being Section 3.
Say again, Division 3 was what?
Division 3 would be line 6 through 9. So one more time, Mr. Chairman. Division 1 is lines 1 through 4. Division 2 is lines number 5 and 10. And Division 3 would be line 6 through 9.
They are divisible. Let's proceed with division number one. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just quickly, I guess I will let the body speak for itself on this. I believe this is not a bad situation. My attempt in doing this division here is I think that we may have had an atomic bomb sitting on the top of the rest of this bill here, and may hopefully save a little bit more of this amendment as we move forward. Vote your conscience on amendment one or on section one.
Discussion, Division 1 of Amendment 60. Any discussion? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and in support of Division Number 1. So this is interesting because this is something that I can identify with. Now, I don't take advantage of this program. Just full disclosure, I'm an employed individual with disabilities. Obviously, I'm paralyzed. And I've looked into this program. However, I do get private insurance through my place of employment. That being said, a long time ago, the federal government decided that because I can work, that I am not technically disabled, and therefore I do not qualify for Medicare, which is something that I was on for a long time. But then, because I worked, they said you're no longer disabled; you're off of Medicare. So now, as an employed individual, I have to have insurance. But let's say for just a moment that I don't have insurance. Let's say I go out and I'm an entrepreneur and I have to buy insurance on my own. Well, it just so happens that I actually looked at the private marketplaces last year for more so for my wife, but I included myself in there. And on the private marketplace, you know, we were talking about Obamacare and all that kind of stuff, or the Affordable Care Act, I guess we could say it that way. It would cost me about $1,000 a month, just myself. Now, this employed individuals with disabilities, it is a Medicare type of program, but I would have to pay, I think it's roughly $350 a month for that. But here's the thing. You take an individual like myself who can work and wants to work and wants to be a productive member of society, wants to pay their taxes, and wants to contribute. But they can't get health insurance. And so what do we do? What does the system actually force that person to do? Because they can't afford health insurance, so we force them to be unemployed. Then we force them to be on Medicaid, state Medicaid, and now they're feeding off the system instead of contributing to the system. So I would submit to you that this employed individuals with disabilities program that we have here in the state is a good thing. And while you are expending more funds, it's better than having someone like me who can contribute. And obviously, I think all of you would agree that I'm a capable individual who can work. Obviously, I'm here with you all, outworking a lot of you. Just take a little pride in that. But that being said, or you can force a person like me who really does need health insurance, because there are some certain medical things that I have to deal with that you don't. And if I don't have that health insurance, then guess what? I'm unemployed, I'm feeding off of Social Security, and I'm on Medicaid, and you're paying for it. So on and in support of Division Number 1.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I think it's really important that we discuss this factually, because if you're on this program, you're on Medicaid. Okay?
And the last conversation here was said that if you're on this program, you weren't on Medicaid. This is a Medicaid program. If you're getting, if you go to the marketplace, then you're on insurance, which is subsidized, would be subsidized by Medicaid. Now, discussing what the premiums for that health insurance would be would depend on what your income level is. And this is people that have, with incomes over 100% of federal poverty level. And they're not going to pay anything. Okay? This is that gap there. That was the whole issue, is those services would be replaced on the marketplace through that insurance program and not be impacting the state Medicaid program. So services aren't lost. It's provided on the marketplace through insurance. It's saved. Now, the reason it's important for our state Medicaid is because half of our Medicaid is federally funded, the other half is state general funds. That's where we save the money. Okay? So that's all I would clarify on that. And I would encourage you to vote no on the first part of this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in support of Division One, I don't understand why budget session after budget session, supplemental budget after supplemental budget, drops funding for the people that really do need government assistance. They really, really do. And yet it's the first thing that goes. And I am happy to be part of this amendment, which will restore some of this funding to the people who need it most, our friends, our neighbors, and I urge your aye vote on Division One.
Anyone else desiring to speak for the first time on Division One? Seeing none. Those who desire to speak the second time? Oh, sorry. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not against the amendment. I don't remember having the discussion about providing insurance or providing Medicaid dollars to able-bodied people during our discussion on Medicaid expansion several years ago. This is a Medicaid program, and certainly we had a big discussion 4 or 5 years ago about expanding Medicaid. This is a little mini expansion of Medicaid, and that's fine. We did that, but just realize that that's what this is here. So I think we just need to not let our – I mean, four and 5 years ago, some of us had the desire to be of good help to working folks and offer them Medicaid, and that was voted down by the body. And there was an option discussed that we could put folks on the exchange. Just realize that that's what this is.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, in appropriations, you know, I get it. It's probably a really good program. But, you know, we had to make some decisions. I don't know. Maybe we brought back $60 million to the Department of Health. I can't remember the I'll let the other good rep bring in those exact numbers. But we had to decide just how many million we were going to bring back in. We brought in back a lot of dollars, needed dollars to the Department of Health, no question about it. But we had to decide where do you draw the line. There's a ton of great programs out there that are still lacking funding, frankly. So where do we draw the line? That's the question. This is where we drew the line. It's the body's decision.
Representative Salazar.
Mr. Chairman, first for a second.
The others desiring to speak for the first time?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if I need to do a first for a second. Do I need to?
We'll reserve you for a second. Okay. Any others? Okay, we're speaking for the second time on Division Number 1, lines 1 through 4 of Amendment Number 60. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to clarify, this is an existing program. This isn't a mini Medicaid expansion because it's already existing. Okay. Number two, this is a Medicaid program in which the employed person with disabilities actually pays into. So it's not like they get a free ride in the thing. All it does is it makes it a little more affordable for them so that they can keep a job at the same time. And then you know what? Once a person can go and they can get insurance and all that kind of stuff, I'll tell you what, there's no incentive to stay on this employed individuals with disabilities Medicaid program because it costs more to pay into that program than it would be to get private insurance. So there's an actual incentive that once you get a full-time job where they provide insurance, which is what I did. I wasn't on this program, but it was one of those things. I got private insurance. It was one of those things. It was a pick-me-up. It helped me progress along, especially after I was down and out and had to recover my life, so to speak, after it all fell apart. So this is a good thing. This is one of those step-up kind of programs. It's one of those things that promotes people who can work, who can contribute to society, who do have disabilities. It helps them to do so. And so, again, I would encourage you to vote aye on this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this Medicaid program, we are not talking about the able-bodied. We are talking about people who are sick, who are working, and need a little help with their illnesses while they work, pay into this program. I would dispute that this resembles in any way the Medicaid expansion that was considered earlier. Again, I urge your aye vote on Division 1.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm really struggling with this. I see both sides, but I'm going to very hesitantly support this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, it's important that we understand that we keep these two programs separate. It's not disabled people who are sick. It's disabled people who are able to work that fit in within the category of their financial. And in this particular program that we are talking about, there is not a pay-in in that poverty in that federal poverty level. On the female side, they're sick, and they get reimbursed for that. I could not agree more that if you go out on the exchange and have your own private insurance, it's kind of a pick-me-up. It kind of gets you back. That's what this does. You'd go on the exchange as a person with disabilities and has the ability to work and be able to have your own insurance through the marketplace. Couldn't agree more. That's what we're trying to do. You'll see an amendment coming forward where we talk about a rebasing to the comprehensive waiver for developmental disabilities. We put $4 million in there. There's an amendment to bring that up to $11.5 million, I believe. So how do we do that? So we've just saved $1.5 million in general funds, another $1.5 million in federal funds. It's in that's how you fund those sorts of things, because now you have a savings there that the department could use other places. I would, again, on this part of the amendment, I would encourage you to vote no. You know, please draw a mental picture of Representative Larson walking down the beach with a club, killing baby seals. I know this is what it looks like, but it's not. We're not denying anybody services for the things that they need. So please vote no on this amendment.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you don't want to imagine Representative Larson beating baby seals, vote aye on this amendment. Okay. But for good reasons, all right, not all jesting aside, and thank you all for the really good conversation and discussion about this. Understand that this is an existing program.
that we have, and we would be eliminating it. It is a program that is funded half by the state and half by the federal government that provides treatment for those who are disabled and employed with breast and cervical cancer. The evidence indicates that these folks, like we have heard, would find it very difficult, if not impossible, to get treatment via the exchange. So I would urge you to vote aye. You know, if JAC wants to stop this program in the future, do it in the future, but don't stop it while there are people currently in treatment, and that's what would happen. So I would encourage you to vote aye on Division 1.
Representative Brown. Nope. Okay, we're now ready to vote on Division 1 of this amendment, which is lines 1 through 4. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
How do I do it? I am in doubt. Okay, all in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. This division fails. 27 votes, aye. 31 votes, no. We're now in division number 2, which is lines 5 and 10. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make this short and sweet. Lines 5 and 10, ladies and gentlemen, this is silly, frankly. This is for one individual unit in this agency. They say that you can't go broadcast something out of this unit. Very easily could do it out of another unit. This is, again, it's a complete overreach. And that's all there is.
Representative Larson.
Well, I think I've made the illustration quite clear that there's some concern on how the department was advertised in sexually transmitted diseases. And this footnote came in last year. It was carried over again this year. I guess we are just trying to send a message that as important as it is to have a discussion about these sorts of things, outdoor signs is not one of them.
Anyone else? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in support of Division 2, it's demonstrated that outdoor billboards are visible, they're read, they're understood, and if our Department of Health can figure out a way to use them to warn Wyomingites about infectious diseases that might be coming through, like the flu, my goodness, how many people would know that this flu this year is deadly, and to urge through outdoor advertising an awareness of, you know, this is just not last year's flu. And if you feel like you're coming down with it, get yourself to a doctor. For all the driving that is done in this state, this is an excellent way to reach Wyoming residents. And I urge your aye vote.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to be very clear. This isn't about Wyoming has the flu. That's not what these signs read. Wyoming has AIDS. Wyoming has name your STD. That's what this is about. That's what these billboards said. And for a state that depends on tourism, that's pretty important when you got tourists driving down the interstate and it says, Wyoming has the clap. That's not good advertising. That's not good tourism. So
Let's be very clear. That's exactly what this is about. It's about STDs, bad advertising, and bad for tourism. Vote no on this. Thank you.
Representative Lonesfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, it's good advertising because it got our attention. I mean, we're debating it today. It's amazing advertising from a marketing perspective. And I think the point got across. So quite frankly, I think they got the message. But what you really are doing now is we have a flu epidemic, and you're constraining them. And so if you want to tighten this up, you know, on third reading that says nothing on certain transmitted diseases, but we could have some serious problems the next couple of years. And I would hope the department got the message. We should take this out. I'm in support of the amendment. Because billboards work, and advertising works. That's why we have so many. That's why we're one of the few states left that have all these billboards on the roadways when other states are banning them, because I've been around for a long time, and we've had this fight about getting rid of billboards on the side of the road, and they're effective, obvious.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out that I travel in other states, and other states have sexually transmitted diseases also. And they also advertise that you have to be aware and you have to take certain precautions. So I think that we should follow the crowd.
Anyone else wishing to speak on this for the first time? Seeing none, we're on the second time. Gotcha. Second time. Anyone speaking for the second time? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to encourage your aye vote for all of the reasons that you just heard. Honestly, if this amendment had only said, don't have a billboard that says Wyoming has the clap, you are dying for me to do it, right? I'd say, okay. But that's not what this amendment says. It says no outdoor advertising for any infectious diseases, and you just heard the good arguments why that might be the most effective way to get to some of our population. Plus, this is really micromanaging in the budget.
We're now calling for the vote for Division 2, which is lines 5 and 10. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
No.
The noes have it. We're now considering division number 3 of Amendment 60, which is lines 6, 7, 8, and 9. Representative Brown.
Make this one short and sweet as well, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. The cuts were too far. Restore a little bit of the cuts to this section here. This is why I divided this amendment. I think that we have a few good areas in here. I thought the last one was good as well, but I think this is at least one worth saving and definitely worth a little less discussion on.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think I've given the body the description of what this does, and I think that this is one that's just kind of important for you to make your own mind up on.
Mr. Chair, first for a second.
Any others wishing to speak for the first time? Seeing Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Last session, we brought in these 320 cuts. You know, I can't remember the exact amount, but almost half were basically ignored. And so we made a cut in the budget. Not quite half, but almost half were ignored. And so these are some of those that are remaining. And so they were scrutinized really hard by the chief executive before they were ever offered as a cut. So I just offer you that information as you make this vote.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the good representative from over the hill described this Division 3 very well. And I would urge your aye vote.
Any others wishing to talk on division number 3 for the first time? Seeing none, those who have already spoken once, would you like to speak again? Representative Larson, are you interested in speaking the second time? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I would urge your aye vote. This is on restoring the $144,000 for respite care for those 65 families.
We're now voting on division number 3, which is lines 6, 7, 8, and 9. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
The noes have it. Division's been requested. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. Division number 3 fails, 26 ayes, 32 noes. Moving past amendment number 60, we're now on amendment number 21. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the House. These are three different items that I kind of told you when we were presenting the budget for the Department of Health that had to that needed correction. One was in the mental health and substance abuse area where we reauthorized the use of $1.7 million and given the authority to move forward. The other is in the state hospital. They have a permanent fund that they are authorized to use to buy equipment at that facility. Likewise, at the Life Resource Center, it's like kitchen equipment, lawn care equipment, that sort of stuff. And we approved that, all of those exceptions requests, and then remember we took all of the exception requests and said that we'd pay the first year and then come back. But these are three items that we need to fund for the biennium. And just, it's, you know, how do you do a half an authorization, I guess. You know, it's kind of weird, or if they've got these supplies. So that's what this does, is just makes that whole exception request in these three areas active automatically. So, Mr. Chairman, if there's no questions, I would encourage someone to ask for the question.
Is there any discussion? The question's been called for. We're voting on amendment number 21, House Bill number 1. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. The ayes have it. Chief Clerk, this requires a roll call. Please call the roll on amendment number 21.
Amendment 21, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Bightman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards.
No.
Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm.
Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson.
Aye.
Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
Amendment 21 passes. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, if we could just pause for a minute. There's two things that are happening. Our Health Labor Committee Chairman has a witness right here in town that has a young child that's going to get back on the road. So we're going to pause. They're going to go. Their committee's going to meet. But one of the receptions that was scheduled for tonight by the AARP, that has been canceled, and they're providing our supper. So we thought maybe, Mr. Chairman, if it'd be all right if we could maybe pause until the sound of the gavel, get a quick bite to eat, and come back to work here.
Hey.
So that'll be an L51, I think, just down the hall a bit. So we'll take a short pause, come back.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So ladies and gentlemen, your committee number 10 is going to, during this pause in the second reading of the House Bill 1, is going to take testimony on House Bill 157 in our normal meeting room. We will take up the working of the bill at our normal time upon adjournment today. So we're trying to accommodate our citizenry who travels from out of town to come and interact with us and talk to us about important issues. This is a little uncommon or out of the ordinary, but I think it's important, and I've spoken with the speaker. So thank you for that accommodation, body. And really, this, I'm saying this for the public, too, who's listening, that we're going to take this little bit of a liberty to accommodate our citizens. Thank you.
The House stands at ease until the sound of the gavel.